that you come through for us, the ways that you help us overcome. I praise you, God, that something as simple as a penny or a dime can add up to such huge change through the power of your will, your might, your power. We pray, God, that all of these gifts laid before you right now, including our gifts of time, our service, that they might be compounded and multiplied in your great hands, that your light would shine, your love would be found, that all would come to know that amazing love of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that all might believe and have victory through you. We put all this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So over the past 3 weeks, we have been going through the book of 1 John, and today is our final Sunday in 1 John, although if you're sad, you can keep on reading it. Feel free to keep exploring it. But each week we've looked at a different part, a different chapter of 1 John, and the first week we had Walking in the Light. The second week we had our incredible Narrow Way youth, who came and shared what it means to walk in truth. And then last week, we looked at walking in love. Now, there's a common thread, maybe you've noticed. One thing all weeks share in common? Walking. Yes, very good. Because in all things that we do, none of that matters if we're not moving forward. And what are we moving forward to? We're moving forward to victory. We're moving on to victory, to God's victory through Jesus Christ. But victory isn't possible if we don't believe it's possible, if we don't have faith that God can do the impossible. We have a tendency to not want to play, not want to do things we can't win. So I have to make a confession. About a week or two ago, our cable went out for a few days, and then our Xbox One stopped working. And so me and my family pulled out our old school Nintendo. It still works. I don't know if you all ever played Nintendo. We played Super Mario Brothers, and Theo and I got really far, and then it died, and we lost all our progress, and I can't bear to turn that back on again yet. So then we switched to The Adventures of Zelda with Link. And so Theo and I have been working through this, and if you're not familiar with this game, basically you go through these different screens in this world, and you collect hidden objects, and you kill monsters, and you work through 9 different worlds until eventually you collect all the Triforces and beat the monster and win the game. And so we've been working away at it, and this week I made it to level 7, and we worked through the whole world until I got to that screen with that guy, and all he says is, grumble, grumble. That's it. I tried everything. I gave him every object. I hit him with boomerangs. I did whatever I could do, and still I would walk in that room, and he would say, grumble, grumble. And there was no way forward. I died probably 10, 12 times, started over, have to go through the whole world again. So finally I did what we do today in today's world. When you can't figure out how to win a video game, I Googled it. Yeah. That's not cheating, my friends. I knew there had to be an answer. I knew we had to be able to win the game. The answer was out there. And so I Googled it. That's smart. Use the tools at your disposal. And discovered that all I needed to do was go to this shop and buy, it looks like a turkey leg, and then give the turkey leg to the guy. And then he lets you through. That was it. So we made it through. We're still not done with the game, but we're working on it. But we kept going. I played it so many times because I believed there's an answer. I'm going to be able to win this game. And so I kept going. Now, this is in stark contrast to the Atari game E.T. So, did any of you all ever play Atari? That is one of the first awesome. You all in the back are very cool. That was one of the earliest video game systems. And actually, Atari is responsible for what we have today in video game systems because it became very popular, but it was almost crashed, almost ended with one game, E.T. In this game, it's a little bit like Legends of Zelda. You progress through these different worlds, and at any given moment, you can fall in a pit or a hole. And you can't tell when they're coming. They just randomly come up. And so when you fall in a pit, then you got to jump. And then you use up all this life, and then eventually you get out. The bad thing is that as soon as you get out of a pit, you could take one step and fall right back in the pit again. And so the whole game is a series of depressing falling in the pit, dying, climbing out of the pit. It was so not fun that people didn't want to play it, and they started to believe it wasn't possible to win the game. And in fact, my husband still insists it is impossible. You cannot, in fact, win E.T. Although, if you look online, I think there's some really, maybe. But it doesn't matter, because nobody believed it could be won, so they stopped playing. There is, in fact, a documentary that went to this great big landfill, and they dug up to find that there are thousands of E.T. Atari video games buried in this landfill because they were unable to sell them. Because nobody wanted to play this game. If you can't win, why try? We feel that way in life sometimes. We have all these huge issues. People are starving. There's poverty. If I can't fix it, if I can't be victorious, why even try? And yet we have our scripture today from 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, which says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world." For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We have this promise that no matter how dark the world might be, no matter how hard our path ahead might seem, we have guaranteed victory through the power of Jesus Christ. But who overcomes? Who can experience that win, that victory? Only those who believe, who have faith that it's possible. We have to have faith. That's the integral ingredient that pushes us forward towards that victory or that win. Now, football season is gearing up. Do we have any football fans here? I know the Colts had a game yesterday. I hear they won. Awesome. A lot of times when we talk football, we talk about the quarterback, right? The quarterback tends to be the star of the show. They run the ball down the field and make the touchdowns a lot of the time. But actually, Michael Lewis wrote a book called The Blind Side. Let me make sure I have the title right. Evolution of a Game. The Blind Side, Evolution of a Game. In which he argued that actually the left tackle is one of the most important positions on a football team. Because the left tackle's job is to keep the quarterback safe. And if the left tackle doesn't do their job, the quarterback can't make it down the field. they have a blind spot, a spot where they can't see people coming. And so it's that left tackle's job to take out all those people before they get that quarterback. He talked in his book, sharing a story about a man named Michael Oher, who today is an incredible football player, has played for some big NFL teams, but started out with some pretty rough beginnings. Didn't have very many prospects. Many doors were closed to him until he met the Tui family. And Leanne Tui kind of took him under her wing. Their story is shared in the movie Blindside. And I actually have a clip here where Michael is at a football practice and he's having a hard time figuring out. He keeps making all these mistakes. He can't figure out how to do what he's supposed to do. And so Leanne comes on the field and puts it in terms that he can understand a little bit better.
In the middle of practice, Leanne.
You can thank me later.
Michael, do you remember when we first met and we went to that horrible part of town to buy you those dreadful clothes? And I was a little bit scared and you told me not to worry about it because you had my back. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
And if anyone tried to get to me, you would have stopped them, right? And when you and SJ were in that car wreck, what did you do to the airbag?
Stopped it.
You stopped it. You stopped it. This team is your family, Michael. You have to protect them from those guys, okay? Listen. Okay. Tony here is your quarterback, all right? You protect his blind side. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back, how you have his, okay? All right, Tony, go back. Oompa Loompa here is your tailback. When you look at him, you think of SJ and how you've never let anyone or anything hurt him. You understand me? All right, go back. Got it?
What about Collins and Mr. Tui?
Fine, they can be on the team too. Are you going to protect the family, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Good boy. Now go have some fun.
Are God's family. And so if we were going to put it in those terms, that means that our left tackle is Jesus. That there are times when we're taking the gospel, the good news, we're running down the field trying to make it to victory, and you're getting sacked by everything. And you've probably felt that way before. Sometimes things hit you out of nowhere. It knocks you flat off your feet, right on your back. Sometimes we don't even want to get up again. Things like maybe you lose your job or someone you love dies. Maybe you're going through a divorce or you're going through something else tough where someone's betrayed you or let you down. These things hit us out of nowhere. And we have a choice. We could lay there on the field or we could get up and keep going. But we know when we believe in Jesus Christ, we know that we have God in our corner. So while we might not see, it might be in our blind side, we have Jesus working behind the scenes for us to clear the way to victory. We have Jesus clearing out some of that opposition. We may not even realize it. We have the power of God on our side, the very best teammate ever in Jesus Christ. What that means is that our path is cleared a little more than it would have otherwise, and it means that we can get up, because even if they're going to sack me right now, I'm going to get to that touchdown goal place really soon. We know we can do it. We've got God on our side. Now, in addition to having a really good team, can you tell this is my natural place, telling sports stories? In addition to all of that, we also, as a quarterback, you need a good playbook. So quarterbacks, that's part of their job. They've got to call the plays, and they've got to know that playbook inside and out. And if you're a quarterback, you love the game, you want to win, you don't mind that. You want to know the plays. Read the book, know it inside and out, because that's your path to victory. We also have the very best playbook in Scripture. And when we know Scripture, we have everything we need. We have the strategies we need to move ahead. Strategies are important for winning, for victory. They're so important. Maybe some of y'all remember 2015. The Colts are still remembered for making one of the worst plays in NFL history. Unfortunately, do any of you all remember the fake punt that happened? So if you don't remember, they ran a play trying to do a fake punt, and it was so poorly executed that everyone was just baffled. What are they doing? They couldn't even tell what the play was, and they kind of took the ball and then stood there, and of course they were sacked immediately. It was horrible. It was almost as bad as the 1964 play that Jim Marshall made. He was a defensive end for the Vikings, and he intercepted the ball. He ran 60 yards all the way down the field to the end zone, and he's so excited. And then he realizes he ran to the wrong end zone. Because of his play, the other team scored a two-point safety. That's what it's called. And he ended up helping the other side. It's important to know the plays, right? You need to know what direction you're going. You need to know the playbook in order to make good decisions, to head the right way. And for us, Scripture is that very thing. Sometimes we think of Scripture as this list of rules, do or do not. But actually, it's a strategy for victory. In Scripture, we see how do we walk in the light. We see that darkness cannot win. In Scripture, we see the ways that persevering in love can win in the end. And we get strategies for being patient, for loving God, for praying, and having more of God in our lives. Our playbook is important. And in fact, it says, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Reading Scripture is not a burden. That's our path to victory. And on that note, I want to challenge all of you all. I didn't actually mention this at the first service. Sort of came to me between services. But I love it when you bring your Bibles to school, to church. You know what? So I'm going to challenge you. If this is our playbook, consider bringing your Bible to church on Sunday. Opening it up, following what the Bible says, thinking through what Scriptures are saying to you. These are important. It's not a burden. It's a joy to learn these strategies for victory. And so we have a left tackle in Jesus. We have an awesome playbook through the Bible, and yet we still can't make it to victory unless we believe, unless we have faith that victory is possible. I mentioned earlier, but if you don't believe that you can win, we have a tendency to not get up and walk and play the game. When I was a little girl, so this will tell you a lot about me and my background in sports. Before I could walk, before I could read, before a lot of things, I knew chess. My dad loves chess. He's a really, really good chess player. And I knew when I was just barely out of diapers that on your first move with a pawn, you can move them one or two spaces. I knew that knights can go in an L shape in various directions, and they are called knights, not little horsey pieces. I learned that queens can move in any direction, and that you always start the game with the queen on her own color, because queens are a little bossy. I knew chess, and I grew up in a... My dad even had us in a few tournaments. I did all right. I did okay. But there came a point where I just didn't want to play anymore. It wasn't because the game was boring, because it is super exciting to play chess, my friends. I didn't want to play anymore because every single time I played my dad, I lost. And not even just by a little bit. Like, my father could wipe the floor with me every time. And I'd get a little bit better, but no matter how good I got, I felt like, you know what, I am never gonna beat him. And if I couldn't win, it was just depressing. I didn't want to play. And so it's not a very good reason, but I gave it up. I just didn't want to play anymore. Now, my brothers, on the other hand, they took a different approach. I have two brothers. One of my brothers is 3.5 years younger than me. His name is Nathan. And Nathan, I could beat him pretty well when we were little because he's younger than me. But I could never take him now. Because my brother, he took a different approach. He decided, you know what? I think I can take Dad someday. I bet if I work really hard, if I learn the strategies, I bet I could beat him. And so Nathan kept playing. He kept working at it. He learned all of the strategies and plays. There are plays in chess. And now, I mean, I think he actually beats my dad all the time in chess. He was enlisted in the National Guard for a while and even played in a worldwide National Guard chess tournament where he did very well. All because he stuck with it. He believed it was possible for him to win. Our faith in victory, belief that it's possible, is an essential ingredient to winning and having victory in the end. If we don't believe in the power of Jesus Christ, then Jesus can't bring the victory for us. We have to believe. We have to have faith in that. Andrew Luck has been in the news a lot lately. Because he's finally back with the Colts. He's playing this season, I think. Yes. At least as of last I heard. I don't know what happened yesterday. But Andrew Luck, back in 2015, he was playing in a game where he got sacked pretty hard. And nobody knew it, but he injured his shoulder. He actually kept that a secret for years. For 2 years, he played with a shoulder injury. And told hardly anyone, played through the pain. Until finally, back in 2017, he bit the bullet and got the surgery he needed to correct his shoulder. And he spent the past year rehabbing, training, trying to get back into shape to play for the team again. He was quoted in an article saying, there were times when you play through the pain. The reality is everybody plays through pain in the NFL. I've played through pain every year. Can you imagine playing through the pain every single year? I have to wonder, why keep playing football? Why would he put himself through that? Why get that surgery? He could have done any number of other things. Why go back to the game that brings you so much pain and struggle and discomfort? He gives us clues to that. Andrew Luck has said several times that he believes that the best is yet to come. He believes that his future in football is not over yet, that victory is around the corner, and if he works really hard, that maybe he'll come back better than before. That maybe, just maybe, the best is still ahead for him. And so he works hard. He's come back this season. I don't know, there are some articles that say he could be the MVP this season, that he's got a lot of potential. We have to believe it's possible to keep going, to play through the pain. And we all know what that feels like, right? Life is tough. Things hit us out of nowhere. That's life. A lot of the time is playing through the pain. And yet if we don't have hope for that victory, if we don't believe victory is possible, there's nothing to keep us going, to keep us walking and moving forward. We have an incredible left tackle. Jesus brings the power, and we can see that. We see that because when we look in scriptures, our ultimate playbook, we see that Jesus, he was betrayed, he was arrested, and he lost big time. He died on the cross. He died. He looked like he was out for the count. It looked like death and sin had won, and yet 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He was victorious. He had the ultimate underdog victory, if you think about it. Everyone thought he was out, and here he was, back from the grave. We have that same victory offered to us, that same power. Jesus is our left tackle, looking out for us, bringing the power so we can move forward. And we can see in Scripture that love wins. We've got all of the strategies, all of the things we need. But do we believe? Do you believe it's possible to have victory through Jesus Christ? I heard a speaker recently. His name is Erwin McManus. And he wrote a book called The Last Arrow. And in this book, he talks about embracing every day and putting it all out there. Every last arrow. Like it's your last day. Like you have nothing else left to put it all out there and live each day that fully. And as he was writing this book, he was diagnosed with advanced stages cancer and ended up having to go through treatment. And he thought to himself, here I am, ironically writing a book about embracing every day like it's my last. And this might be my last book. He went through a number of treatments, had an amazing, incredible, miraculous recovery, but it was painful, marked with struggle and uncertainty. And he said in his talk a few weeks ago that his greatness was on the other side of his pain. That as he pushed through pain and discomfort, it was not until he persevered that God's power was on display, that he was able to reach his potential. Our greatness is on the other side of our pain, our discomfort. I want you to imagine whatever it is that's going on right now that's just got you scared, crazy, whatever obstacle that's right in front of you. I want you to just for a minute, you can close your eyes if you need to, but just picture that in your head, that thing that's standing in your way right now. Maybe it's something that you're not sure you can conquer. You're not sure if you can overcome it. I want you to remember, you have an amazing teammate, left tackle in Jesus Christ. And that we know when we love and persevere, love wins in the end. So I want you to imagine Jesus overcoming whatever that is. Whatever you're facing, imagine that victory. Because that's what's possible when we have God in our lives. When we believe, when we have faith, anything is possible and no obstacle is too big. And even if we get knocked off our feet now, we know a few yards down the line, we're going to have the touchdown, the field goal, the goalie, and whatever it is, checkmate, that we are going to win. We know that through Jesus Christ. So that's our question today. The good news is that we only need the slightest little bit of hope to keep going. We don't have to have mountains of it, just that little seed, enough to get up and keep walking and keep moving forward. So for all of us, may we all have the victory. May we all have the strength to keep walking, to keep moving, and to know to know and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ will bring us the victory. Let us pray. Most amazing God, we thank you. We thank you because even though we doubt, even though sometimes we fail you, and we doubt that victory that you promise us, you are always by our side, watching us there right at our blind spot. God, we thank you because you are constant and loyal and faithful, even when we are not. We thank you, God, because through Jesus Christ, we know that victory is possible, that even death cannot hold us down, that there is nothing beyond your power and your might. I pray, God, that we might have that seed of faith to keep going, that we might fight the good fight, that we might persevere through pain to be truly great in you, to be your hands and feet, displays of your power at work in this world, that all might know your love, gracious God, that the hopeless might have light, that they might know that things are not dark and hopeless with you. And I pray especially, God, for any here right now who are struggling, who are facing down some sort of monster, some big thing in their lives, and who might be feeling scared. I pray, God, that you continue to meet us where we are and that they would know deep down in the fiber of their being that you are with them and that victory is theirs. Victory is to all of us when we believe and we follow. So I put all of this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen.